Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
Good evening, our fellow lovers of love. Thank you for joining us on this excursion where we answer your burning questions about life, love, relationships, parenting, and work, plus some more. We tackle some of the most common controversial topics that we find on the lovosphere.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to edit the AI in real time here. God, this is going to be an interesting show if I can't talk already. So tonight we're talking about how to cope with aging, obesity, and living in California. Deal with cheating and lying and falling out of love in your relationships as kind of a normal thing. How do we handle parenting dilemmas? And how to navigate some work issues? And we do all this by sharing some personal stories, opinions, and advice that we can muster in these matters.
Yes.
And hopefully we make you laugh along the way. So my laugh sounds terrible on the air, by the way.
You do?
Oh, God, it's awful.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I love your laugh.
Well, you might, but of course, to my ears, it sounds terrible. So if you guys out there, when you hear me laughing, just tell us what you think, because I think it's awful. So you can send those complaints or comments to love@latenightlove.us. You can find us. And if you happen to be in Sacramento, you can hear us at 96.5 FM. Speaking of what we're talking about here in Sacramento, if you are in Sacramento, don't remember that there is Spud Night on March 28th. Mm-hmm. So go to accesssacramento.org and look into that if you're in the Sacramento area. And if you're not in the Sacramento area, you can donate and help the cause for free speech in the Sacramento area, I suppose. We can do that. We can say that on the air.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. All right, so, and take a listen. There's an app. You can take a listen to other local, producers. They work hard on their craft, and it's a labor of love for most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is that. All right, so what are we going to start with here tonight, love? I guess we've got some life questions we're starting out with.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Is California as bad as the right wing says it is?
Now, the reason I put this on here is because, one, the way they frame the question, look, it's a legitimate question to ask. But when you ask it that way, you're already approaching it from a perspective that you don't want to hear the answer from. And so as someone who's lived here in California, the truth is always somewhere in between, right? A lot of it depends where you live and what you're preferences are in terms of culture and economy and all these various issues.
Yeah.
California is vastly different, say, from LA and from Shasta. Shasta
California
County.
Means Sacramento.
Yeah, no, California. The difference in California culture from LA to, from far south LA, San Diego, up to Shasta County is vastly different.
Yeah.
So you can live in two worlds. And so, it really depends. Are some of the places as bad as homelessness bad as people are saying? Yes, it is.
It is.
Is crime as bad as people are saying? In some places, it's worse. In some places, crime is still essentially non-existent. But in some places, it's worse than you think it is. It's worse than they're saying. And it's entirely dependent upon factors that are...
Let's face it, it's a really big state.
It's a really big state, and these issues are very complicated. And when you start trying to examine the issue by right wing, left wing, don't look at it that way. There are legitimate complaints from fellow citizens. Maybe they're focusing on ones you wouldn't focus on. Okay, but you're focusing on ones they wouldn't focus on. So if we all want to sit here and learn to live together civilly, we have to at least be willing to listen and examine with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And you will often find out that what happens is activists exploit issues for their own cause. And what happens is the rational, normal human beings get caught up in this big mess. So is California as bad as some people say? No, but yes. Life is like that sometimes. It just is. It, you know, it depends on your tolerances for what is kind of my thing. It's just like anywhere else. We've got our good things. We got our bad. It's really expensive to live here. You know, there is that. But, you know, all things on balance, you know, depending upon where you are, it's just another place to live. Okay, what's next?
What was your first clue you were no longer as young as you thought you were?
Well, my first clue probably happened, oh God, I was probably 20s, 24, 25, when I couldn't stand up after trying to fix the radio on my car. My knee blew out. That was probably the one time. Oh, well, I'm old. But I get reminded constantly. It's kind of this thing. Your mind thinks you're 10, 15 years younger than you really, your body really is.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. You think you're 10 years ago. And so, like, when you're in your mid-50s, you think you're 40. You're not stupid. You're no longer 20. But you think you're, you know, I can still do what I could do in my 40s. No, you can't. Well, maybe you can. You know, maybe you were out of shape in your 40s, and in your 50s, you're in good shape. And so maybe you can do more than you were able to. So
when I tried to run, that's when I realized.
I tried to run and you realized
I'm no longer capable of running.
No, I don't have the knees for running, but yeah. Yeah, it's now it's the thing is, you know, when I'll stretch, ow, that hurts. You know, oh God, this is terrible.
My first clue was when I slept wrong and it took me 3 days to recover my neck, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's this next one.
How did Americans get so fat?
Well, that's an easy question. Abundance. We are a successful country. Successful countries have lots of food. When human beings have lots of food, you eat it.
They eat it. Yeah.
It's just what happens. There's nothing about America. It's nothing unique to Americans. You go back in all of history, successful things had fat, lots of fat people in them. That's why they've got, you know, there's lots of
art,
cave drawings, figurines and stuff with people who are quite plump, and that's because they had plenty to eat. And it's, you know, hey, it's the eat it while you got it, because it may not be here next year, right? Next year's crop may fail, and so enjoy it while you got it. It's just the human instinct. It's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Should we? Oh, we should. Trust me, we should be more careful on what we eat. But how did we get so fat? It's because we have a lot. It is really that simple. Okay, what's next?
Relationships.
Oh, fun. All right.
Okay, I'm female 26 and morbidly obese, not just chubby. How do I tell my boyfriend, male 27? This has been an internet relationship. And they do video, and she's done her face and, you know, up to here, you know, just a little bit down the chest, just a little bit. And that's all she's ever shown. So now she's worried.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to deal with this. You know, my guess is you probably won't care all that much. And, you know, definitions of morbidly obese and chubby are different. Let's put it this way. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And at this point, he may not care about your physical beauty. He cares about your inner beauty. And so when you just tell him about yourself, here's the suggestion. Tell him about the struggle and he'll get the point. You're not hinting about it. Just tell him about the struggle you're going through. And you might find someone who's willing to support you through whatever health journey you feel you need to go on. You're young. You're 26. You can change that direction if you want to.
Yes.
And part of that is having the confidence that someone loves you unconditionally. So let him. And he may not. But you're going to have to find out at some point anyway. You'd rather find out early than not. But you may find a surprise. And it's worth the risk.
It really, it's a calculated risk.
Well, because you're going to have to live as you are at some point.
Yes.
And so you might as well do it now and give this person the chance to be there for you. You know? So there you go, because you know that you want to do something about it because you've been calling yourself chubby when you feel you're more. Now, there's a caveat to this that I want to be careful with. Women often feel they are can, especially in their 20s, can feel they are larger than they are. She may not be what we would call morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
She may be technically morbidly obese, but they've screwed up that definition of the, you know, the doctors and whatnot have screwed that definition up a long time ago when they went with BMI and it was dumb. But or overnight, people who were chubby became morbidly obese simply because they changed the chart. So, and that was only done because of BMI, and they now know BMI is, anyway, flawed, a flawed metric. It's not useless, but it's flawed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so just try to live your life as you. Let him, my guess is he'll respond to it better than you think. But start with it as, you know, your health journey. Discuss it as your struggle. You know, let him in.
He's been there for her so far.
So far, so let him in. Let him have a chance to surprise you. Okay, what do we got next?
Okay, my wife, 30 female, told me, 29 male, that she's not in love with me anymore. How can I stop being so sad?
You can't.
You're going to be sad, hon.
Yeah, the only way to stop being sad is to, you have to live through it. It's one of these things you can't avoid. You just have to plow through it. Oddly enough, when you let it go and just let it be, you get over it faster. And you will. We've all been there in some form or another. You know, you've grown apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to find this out at 30 than at 40. You're going to be sad. So let yourself be sad. You know, we're talking about here about don't fight him with ghosts. Sadness is a ghost. So don't fight it. Acknowledge it. Live with it for a little while. You'll get tired of it and you'll move on. So what will happen? You know, and let the people around you, let your friends and family help you. Is another suggestion of mine. All right. So what's next?
I, 29 female, just found out that my boyfriend cheated on me more than 5 years ago. I want to break up, but I don't know if I'm justified. How do I move on?
Well, hey, you're justified if you feel justified. This is one of these things where you don't need anybody else's justifications. You rightfully feel betrayed, and if you want to break up and move on, then you break up and move on. You don't need any more justification than you want to. It's a wonderful thing about being an adult in a relationship. You don't need anything more than that. You don't need an excuse. Now, how do you move on? Well, sadly, just like we said the last time, you just have to move on.
Give yourself some time first, you know, before you jump back into dating.
Yeah. So,
because there's the old proverbial taking it out on the next one, you know.
Yeah, well, and spend some time. It's always best to go into new relationships, you know, from a position of strength. And right now you need to find your footing. Find out who you are, what you want to be, where you want to go. It's a time to reflect and renew a direction in your life. So look at it as excitement, as renewal. Yeah. Yeah. It might get you through the dark days.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you'll find your rhythm again and you'll move on in life. So, sorry. But yeah, again, just move on. What's next?
My 28 male girlfriend, 27 female, lied to me and slept with someone else. Despite facing very, very overwhelming evidence, she continues to insist she didn't. Should I trust her?
Well, the question isn't should you trust her. The question is, do you trust her? It's not a question of should. No one else can answer this question for you. This question is, do you? You know, hey, people have gone to prison and for crimes they didn't commit because, you know, there was a lot of evidence that said they did something. Now you're not sending anybody to jail, but, you know, did she probably do it? Probably.
Probably.
If you've got a mountain of evidence, but, you know, what's your level of thing? Do you need any shadow of a doubt? Oh, man, who is that guy? There is the old saying, you just say it wasn't me. What was it?
It wasn't me.
Wasn't me. There was a whole song from it.
Yeah,
there's a whole song about it, and the name is escaping me now. But anyway, so I don't know. It's not a question of should you trust her. It's a question of do you. And if you don't, then it's time to move on. If you do, then you can figure out a way to move past it. But the question of should you trust her, there is not the question. The question isn't should you. The question is do you.
Mm.
Okay.
My 34 female hurt about my husband, 36 male, not putting any thought into my Mother's Day gift. Okay, their child is one.
Okay.
And she wants the husband to do, you know, the Mother's Day stuff for the son.
Okay, did she tell him?
No.
Okay, so you were holding up him up to a standard that he hasn't yet agreed to.
Everybody knows about the standard.
No, we don't.
It's Mother's Day. How can you not know?
Many of us don't care about these things. So here's the, and you have to live with this. So you of all people understand this.
I buy my own flowers, okay? So I've come to terms.
Exactly. Now, here's the question. Does he show you his love the rest of the time? And what is it that you really want?
She wants gifts from her son.
Her son is one. Get realistic. So she doesn't want gifts from her son.
She wants her husband to buy gifts.
She wants
for the son and give them in the son's name.
Do you understand that just means
this is very, very simple.
This is just means you want gifts from us. That's all that means. How the hell am I supposed to think like a 1-year-old? Can't I just write you a thing in crayon? Draw you a heart? I love you. Your mom, here, give it to you. Isn't that what makes you all happy when they're like 3 and 4 and 5?
Now, if you do like foot imprints in the little clay, you can do tracing.
Now you understand why we hate these things.
You can do all kinds of stuff.
This is why we hate these things.
Put in effort.
We put in an effort the rest of the year. Why do we have to put in a special effort on some day that Hallmark invented?
Because we want it.
Okay, now here's a quit. If you want something, you're going to have to tell us. Expecting us to just know and then getting mad because we don't. Has it ever worked in the history of relationships? Just saying. At some point, somebody's going to have to change their strategy. And apparently, we're not bright enough. So y'all are going to have to, you know, make a move here and tell us what the heck you want us to actually do. Just tell us.
You mean you can't look at what we do on Father's Day and emulate it?
Okay, do you understand that we don't want what you guys do on Father's Day? We accept it because we know you're expressing your love for us, and so we deal with it. We'd rather have nothing. Or just a day where we go off by ourselves and go golfing or boating or, you know.
Didn't you get that poster?
Yeah.
On Father's Day?
Yeah. My kids made me a poster.
Yeah.
It's still back there. It's still over there. I still have it.
I know.
Yeah. I didn't expect it. Didn't need it. Which made it even better.
That's what we want.
Yes, but you guys want it and expect it, which means you're always going to be disappointed. See, I'm always excited because I expect or want nothing. So when I get even the smallest thing, like when two teenage girls, one of them's not even my daughter, gives me a Father's Day, handmade Father's Day poster, it's the most wonderful gift in the world. Because I didn't want it, didn't need it, but I got it anyway.
That's what we want.
Yes, but you want it. You're not understanding the difference. You're always going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Y'all are just better than we are.
No, we're
simple. Suck it up, Buttercup. We want the stuff.
Then just tell us what you want and we'll buy it for you. Just tell us. That's all we're asking.
No, you're supposed to figure it out.
Okay, we're going to go back to some reality here. Have we ever figured it out? All right, where are we at? All right, what's next?
Okay. I, 42 male, discovered my fiance was messaging her ex that was sexual in nature. How should I confront her? How does he approach this subject? Because he doesn't know. He's confused. He doesn't know what to say.
Wait, at 42, you're confused. That's an interesting question because at 42, she's sending sexual in nature things to
her. She's 36.
Yeah. He's 42.
He's 42, yeah. That's a little old for this type of stuff.
Yes, it is. That's actually kind of the thing. You're just going to have to actually bring it up. And I'd just tell her it's bothering you. Figure out a way to do it without being accusatory at first. Because it may be habit. Maybe it's an old habit. But sometimes habits like these are hard to break.
Sexual in nature. Was this like extreme flirting? It wasn't sexting.
Or maybe it was. Maybe he just didn't want to say that. But it kind of depends. But you're going to have to figure it out. Especially before you go beyond fiance. Then the only way to do that, it's like pulling off a Band-Aid, you know? Maybe you heat it up a little bit so it comes off a little easier. So, you know, make sure you're not being accusatory when you bring it up. Just say, hey, you know, I'm kind of concerned about this. And, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to do it. Good luck. And I hope for the best, whatever the best happens to be. All right, what's next?
My male 35, girlfriend, female 33, quit her full-time job to become a travel influencer. Should I break up?
Is she making money to be? There's lots of these travel influencers who make a living. They get to travel and they get to be paid while they travel and... You know, it's an actual job.
It really is.
I mean, we may think of it as not a job, but it's an actual job. She can make actual money and travel the world. Now, do you want that kind of lifestyle? Maybe not. But just because she changed jobs, would you get mad at somebody because they went from being an architect to being a YouTuber, even if they were making money? Maybe they were an architect and they started doing architect videos on YouTube. And next thing you know, they've got a million followers. And so they quit their architect job. You're going to, right?
Yeah.
You know, so no, she's changing her careers. It's, you know, if you don't want the lifestyle, that's a different question, right? You need a relationship where people are always there. You can't have this kind of long distance come and go. You know, it's too hard on you emotionally. That's understandable. Then you break up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But not because she changed her job.
Right.
Okay.
My 23 male girlfriend, 22 female, made me feel bad for spending my money on myself, my birthday money on myself. Am I being irresponsible? Good heavens, hun. What is this girl doing? She's 22. She's a little old for this. This is like teenage stuff.
Well, yes and no. They may have, maybe they share a life. They have rent and bills and whatnot. And the more responsible thing would have been done to pay some bills.
It's his birthday money.
Yeah. And as sometimes life's like that, homie. Sometimes the best thing for your birthday is your lights don't get turned off, right? Hey, great present. Thank you. So, you know, I don't know. It kind of depends.
Mm. Okay.
You know, or what did he get $100? He went and bought a video game and you know, and everything else is pretty much just routine. Well, then no, it's not none of her business. If she just wanted him to take her out for dinner with his birthday money, then she's being jealous or whatever. You know, she's being unrealistic. But if they have bills, mutual bills, and now you're still wondering, okay, now how's the light bill still going to get paid? You probably should have used some of it to pay the light bill. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on circumstances.
Okay.
Okay.
My ex has brutally cut me out of his life. Why? And what do I do now?
He did this thing called moving on. And that's what you need to do now. Feel the pain. We've talked about it at the beginning of this other relationship discussion. You feel the pain. You allow yourself to feel the pain and you'll get over it quicker. And you move on. Become a better you. Just focus on you. There's a lot there. You're a very deep, complex person. Focus on you for a little while. And then, you know, as you become a better you, you become more attractive to someone who is wants someone like you.
Yes.
And so that's what you do. So, in a sense, thank him. Well, not personally, but, you know, respect his wishes, but thank him for setting the boundary. And now you know what it is, and you can move on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The boundary is clear. There's, you know, at least the boundary is clear. How many relationships don't have clear boundaries like that? Don't end with a clear boundary. So be thankful for the clear boundary. Move on.
Maybe she needs closure.
She got it. The door's closed.
He didn't say why.
She knows why.
What if there's a new girl?
Then there's a new girl. Doesn't matter. You weren't meant for each other. Move on. Closure doesn't make you feel any better. It just gives you something to hold on to longer.
Really?
It doesn't do anything. Oh, I know why. Now you're just going to be mad about why. So, well, that was silly. Or yeah, maybe it might give you some points of self-reflection, but you should, maybe I was not such a good partner. All right. And I can work on that. But my guess is you probably already know that.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably don't need closure. You know, you probably just have to spend some time looking in the mirror and work on yourself, and you'll find the closure you need. Expecting something from that other person, the relationship didn't work. Why do you think that would? So, anyway. All right. What do we got next?
Parenting.
Oh, yay. Parenting.
Yes. Can I leave my 8-year-old son home alone for 15 minutes? Okay. He's very responsible.
Uh-huh.
She's taking a younger sibling to school. Just zip, zip real quick.
Uh-huh.
In the morning.
Not in the modern United States, no.
Because someone's going to know your routine.
Yep. Well, it's not even someone's going to know your routine. Miss Kravitz from across the way is going to know, and she's going to end up calling the CPS on you because she's going to be afraid for your son. Even though that kind of thing was done historically with no consequences.
I was left alone.
Yes.
Out in this farmhouse.
Yeah, we lived in a different time.
And we had to get myself ready and bundled up because there was snow up, you know, in piles out there.
Yeah.
And snow drifts you had to wade through with the boots and the,
yeah.
Alone. get out there, catch the bus.
I know. Just saying, but you can't probably can't do that these days. Just bring your 8-year-old with you. Sadly, I wish I could give you a different answer, but the answer for the modern world is you're going to have to do that one. Sadly. Okay. What's next?
My daughter's excuse is always, I forgot. Okay. She's 9 and she's trying to get her into to a routine. Like, you know, did you brush your teeth? Oh, I forgot.
Because she forgot. So stop trying to get her into the routine and just remind her, hey, brush your teeth. Stop trying to have expectations that she's going to remember these things. And, you know, just understand that you're going to have to instruct her until she does it herself. At some point she will, but she forgets. She's 9. And, you know, you're doing a million other things. She just doesn't think about it. So you're going to have to remind her. Make her a, give her a checklist or something that she can complete every morning. You know, kid, most kids hate that kind of thing, but
write it down.
Yeah, most kids hate that kind of thing. So just a reminder. It's what parenting is. Repeating the same thing over and over and over again. It's what parenting is. Repeating the same thing over and over and over again. I'll remind you. That's what parenting is. Repeating the same thing over and over and over again. So accept it. Just accept it. Don't make it a fight. Just accept it. All right. What's next?
Do you make kids try new sports activities just for the sake of trying them?
No. I might encourage them to try new sports and activities just for the sake of giving them a world.
I never made them do anything.
No, you don't want to make them do anything because they're going to go into it with a bad attitude. Now, maybe they get a good instructor or a good coach or something that can, you know, pierce through the beginning attitude, but it's not likely. So, no, you encourage them. You give them the opportunity to try new things, but you don't make them try new things in terms of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay.
How do you handle the opening of birthday presents? Okay, their little girl wants to open her presents in the morning, but dad's at work. And they're wondering how to handle that. Should they wait for everything until dad gets home? Or I would suggest opening one special one.
No, I'd say you make her wait. Life's like that sometimes, homie. You know, you don't get everything you want, even on your birthday. Sorry.
I do.
No, you don't.
I have a birthday month.
No, you don't. See, you, just because you think you do doesn't mean you actually do.
I celebrate it.
Yeah, see, and that's what I mean. If you want a birthday month, you're going to have to celebrate it. But, you know, your dad is the one who's buying these presents. Come on. At some point, she's going to have to learn that, you know, the party is not just for you. The party so your family can get together and enjoy the company of each other because of you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. And you teach them that by telling them, no, you have to wait until everybody's here. Now, that is true. Maybe there is a special present that you say, yeah, okay. Dad will say, yeah, all right, good. They can open that one so they can play with it all day, especially if he's working on a weekend or something. But for the most part, I have no problems with telling children no. It sets good examples. You get told no all the time. You have to learn to deal with it. Even on their birthday. Yeah. Even on your birthday.
Oh, you're so hard.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
I would say the hand opening a special one is the answer to this.
Yeah, but maybe your dad wants morning. To see the special one.
Not a special one, but one that he agrees on, like you suggested.
I'm just saying, I personally would make them wait till the party. All right.
Okay. Any tips on how to emotionally recover from a close call with your kid? They couldn't find their 4-year-old. And he eventually found him asleep in their bed. But they searched for like an hour, the whole house, and they got so scared. They were terrorized outside, searching neighbors. You know, I mean, it was, they were frantic.
Yeah.
And now they're emotionally just spent and just all frazzled.
Completely natural. And you get over it by getting over it. There's no, it's, you just get over these things. These things happen, right? Or the kid hides in the closet thinking he's funny and y'all can't find him. He's a little snot, you know? Luckily, I have enough kids where you don't panic anymore. But yeah, I used to have my oldest. He would do things like, we lived on a second floor. He'd fall down the stairs, sit at the bottom and laugh and say again. He liked falling down the stairs. So that kid would give you heart attacks. So I understand where these parents are coming from, but it just becomes one of the long list of things that your children do to pull your heart out of your body. It's just that's all it is.
It's a long list.
It becomes a long, long, long list. So you'll be fine. But I do understand where they're coming from. I get that's a cold-hearted panic.
It is.
And so I get it. And it's going to take a bit of time to recover from it. How long? More than 48 hours? Less than 48 days? There you go. It should take, if it takes longer,
around in there.
If it takes longer than 2 months, you see someone about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's perfectly reasonable to have some time to take some time to get past it. Okay.
Where'd you draw the line between preteen silliness and bullying?
Oh, that's difficult, actually.
Because they're learning.
Well, because they are learning, and one, a lot of interactivity between especially boys can seem like bullying. Girls, it's actually harder to find out because their bullying is character assassination, and the bully by, you know, their bullying is different. Boys, you can just kind of see, and you can just ask. You know, you can kind of see when it gets too far. You can visually tell. But with girls, it's harder because girls' bullying happens, you know, behind the scenes. So you really, the question is, where do you draw the line? Is you make sure that all the teens are equally participating. If there is one who is constantly on the receiving end, then you know it's gone into bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if everybody's giving and taking relatively equal terms, then they're just teen silliness. But especially among boys. You know, boys can have a legitimate fight with each other and then go fishing the next day and have nothing. You know, it just is. So you have to really, you know, if they're kind of giving and taking relatively equally, then there's preteen silliness. If there's one who is largely on the receiving end, you want to be much, much more careful. So, okay.
Okay, does raising kids get more expensive as they get older?
Yes. The food gets more expensive. Clothes get more expensive, but you don't have to buy diapers as much, and diapers are freaking expensive. So, and then they get teenagers, and then they get really expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can manage costs like everything else. You know, you don't have to buy Nikes. You can buy the cheap shoes. Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay.
How the heck do you manage early wake-ups with two kids sharing a room?
Well, what do you mean?
One has an early wake-up and the other one doesn't have to, like, go to bed. One has to be up at 6 and the other one has to be up at 8. So.
They deal with it. Kids are resilient. They'll deal with it. There's nothing to deal with. Your kid that wakes up at 6 gets up at 6. You ask him to be as quiet as possible. Maybe get ready in the bathroom or a different room. You know, but for the most part, let them adapt. Kids are resilient. They'll adapt. They're adaptable. So I never had to. We had kids, three boys that shared a room, and we never dealt with any of these things. Mm. Yeah, Anthony would sleep through a war, so you know it wouldn't matter. So it wouldn't make a difference. So yeah, these things, they deal largely, most of the time, deal with themselves. So that's what I would do until you have to actually do something. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
Okay.
More questions.
All right.
Employer requires us to download MS Authenticator to our personal cell phones for work.
I'm assuming this is to access their internal systems.
Yes.
Well, then don't access their internal systems away from in the office. Unless you're on salary and these kind of things are required. Like, because of the nature of my job, I have to have access to our internal systems remotely. So then I need to have security things installed. Yeah, I have to set up VPNs and all kinds of goofy things. It's just what's required. So if it's required for your job, it's required for your job. Question is, how often do you need to use it? So I wouldn't worry too much about these things. It's a security thing to keep their internal security and the internal networks, the internal processes secure. How effective they are is another question. But if you're not accessing it at work, if you're not using your phone to access these things, then don't worry so much about it. It's not spyware. It's just, well, as much as anything, other thing on your phone is. But I do get it. You don't necessarily want to have to be working from your phone. Then just don't work from your phone.
Yeah.
So, because it's probably like to log into your email or something. If you need MS, that's largely what you need. Probably have a, they probably use Office or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they need that to log into email from your phone. Do you need to check email from your phone? Do you work from the office? Do you work remotely? Is it required? Or is it suggested? So find that out if it really bothers you, if it's actually required or just suggested. Well, then I'm not going to check my emails from my cell phone. Okay. So you can't check your emails from your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. All right, what's next?
I just got rejected at an interview for being too old. I'm 28.
What was the interview for?
She didn't say.
Okay, A, that's age discrimination. And that's really strange that they would say that outright. Unless, of course, you're like an artist. You're going for a position at something that actually requires looking young. Maybe you don't look young. Maybe trying to get at Disneyland and you no longer look like the young little princess and you're not going to get the young little princess job.
Sorry.
Yeah. Or they want young people because they feel they can take advantage of them and you just got lucky for not working for a crappy company.
Mm. All right. Whose idea was it to tax bonuses?
What do you mean?
You get a bonus from your boss.
Yes.
And they tax it.
Yes, it's called income. They're gonna.
It's a gift.
What part of the? No, it's not. It's income. What part of the government, federal, state, or local, makes you think they don't want part of your income? Have you seen your pace thing? They tax everything. They tax what you earn. They tax what you buy, and after you're dead, they tax that too. What makes you think they're not going to tax a bonus? It's not a gift. It's part of your compensation. Sorry. Now, should they? I don't think they should tax your income, but that's a whole nother discussion that's not for here. I don't think they should, but what part of the planet do you think they don't? If you think they tax it too high here, go to Europe and see how much your that bonus gets taxed. So it's just welcome to the politicians who want your money so they can go give it to somebody else. There you go. Okay.
How do you negotiate better treatment for a ghost crew?
A ghost crew?
Yeah, they're on late at night. Nobody else is there.
Oh, the zombie hours. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're being treated like Doogie.
What do you mean?
You know, no breaks. They have to. Their lunch hour is half an hour. You know, they're well,
lots of people's lunch hour is half an hour. You're legally mandated breaks. You don't need to negotiate for that. You just have to take them. And if they don't like it, you tell them to pound sand. And they can't do anything because then they're open to not just a lawsuit, but penalties from the government. So the break is the easy one. Just take them. The half hour lunch is standard. Half hour lunches are standard.
But the rest of the company isn't being treated this way.
Yes, because the night crew is often, there's reasons for that. It's overlap. You only have 24 hours in a day. If you got three crews, each there for, the first two are there for 9 hours, which means that second one rarely only has 7 hours, right? No, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they got too much overlap. So without taking pay away from those people, where do you get those hours from? Take it from lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And what else are you going to do in the middle of the night anyway? It's not like you can go and do anything. You're acting like you guys can go out and go to a doctor's appointment at 3 a.m. It's not going to happen, right? I've worked plenty of overnight jobs. Quite frankly, for most of us, a half-hour lunch was too long. Just give us enough time to eat and move on. But legally mandate at least half an hour. So most of the time, we're sitting around for 20 minutes throwing things at each other, making a mess for the poor janitor in the morning. Come up. No wonder they hated us. It's, you know, things were, you know, it is what it is. And yes, the night crew generally gets worse treatment than the rest of the thing. But you also get more freedom because you don't have the bosses walking over your head. So it is what it is. Okay, this next one.
No breaks at work? That's illegal.
Well, in the United States, depending upon where else they might be from.
Yeah.
But in the United States, in most Western worlds, there's legals that require this. Now, there are times where you have maybe an immigrant business owner and they don't understand. Because back in their country, they don't need to. I've actually come across this. But all you really have to do is educate them. Yeah, whether it's your job to educate them or not, it shouldn't be, but sometimes it is. So, yeah. All right. Okay.
Any job search tips?
Just be you. And there is this one. I was watching a YouTuber the other day. Actually, I guess he's a Twitch streamer that puts the shorts on YouTube. And he was talking about this. Your projects count as experience, especially if you're a programmer, right? Your projects, the things you work on, the things you've done, the things you've made, those count as experience. If you made assets for games, then those things count as experience. Put those down. And the same thing, if you volunteer for organizations, even political ones, put those down. You know, the organizational skills you've learned, the interpersonal skills you've learned, those are skills. You don't care where you got them. You care the skills you have. Put the skills you have down. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be a job. No one cares about those anymore. Rules have changed. So now everybody's a skills. It's what can you do. So if you can demonstrate, if you have something you can show. This is what I've done. This is what I built. This is what I've done. This is the communities I've run. So it really depended upon, you know, what it is you're doing, what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Put those things down. It shows you're a responsible person. If you were a moderator on a Reddit community for 5 years, guess what? That shows you have responsibility. It shows you're responsible and you stick things out. Trustworthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can use those. Okay.
How do you politely decline having to do more work?
Well, it depends. Is it in your job description to do this stuff?
I worked at a place where they took advantage of the other duties as assigned. clause.
Well, the question is, because if the current your current duties only take you 30 hours, but they're paying you for 40 hours, guess what's going to happen? They're going to give you 10 more hours of work because they're paying you for 10 more hours of work. It's just what's going to happen. Now, if they're asking you to squeeze more work into an already overloaded workday, you're going to have to ask them, okay, what do you want me to not do? I'm perfectly happy to take this on, but what am I going to not do? I can't get all this done. So it really depends. Mm-hmm. But if you find yourself with a lot of downtime in your job, guess what? They're going to fill it. Or they're going to move your other job to somebody else and remove your job. You can't have someone who's spending, 20% of their time not doing work. So they might be saying she's got more time, so we give her more work. You're paid to do work. Sorry. Sorry. So, but, circumstances do matter, right? So it really kind of decides, but you're paid to do work. All right.
My supervisor, 18 male, likes me, 24 female. I don't know how to act at work now. I feel awkward.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is going to feel awkward, isn't it? You actually look better at this one.
Just go in, do your job, and treat them with distance.
Yeah, the problem is he's 18, and 18-year-old men are stupid. How does an 18-year-old get to be a supervisor? What, are they at a fast food joint or something?
No.
No?
I forget what it was.
But anyway, yeah. The nice thing is he's your supervisor, so the relationship is no bueno anyway. So
yeah, not going to work. Sorry. You can always tell him, sorry, I don't date at work.
Well, no, because there might be someone at the work you want to date, but you don't date your supervisors.
And don't date your supervisor, yeah.
Never date a supervisor anyway. So if you're going to date a supervisor, you get a different supervisor. And then you date a coworker, right? You're not dating a supervisor. Never date a supervisor. It ends bad for everybody. It's bad for the company. So, yes, that's the stand you take. So, and then it's not personal.
Yeah.
And just move on. Okay.
Why did my top performing employee quit after a write-up?
I think we covered this a couple months ago, but I thought it was good to cover again because it's important that this is one of those things that needs to be covered probably repeatedly, is that if your best performing employees quit after a write-up, okay, well, A, was the write-up legitimate? Were you writing him up because he's 5 minutes late? Why would you write up your best employee because he's chronically 5 minutes late? You adjust his schedule. That's what you do to your best employee, right? Now, maybe it was something serious and he deserved the write-up, but he thought all of his hard work should cover for that. Well, then so be it, right? If he was, say, not being a pleasant employee to work with, and you finally had to say, look, you can't talk down to your fellow coworkers. He says, the heck with this, I'm out of here. Well, good riddance, frankly. So it really depends on the circumstances of the write-up. Was it over something silly? Like he wore the wrong pants on the wrong day? He dressed casual on Tuesday? Some of your workers, you put blinders on and you let them do what their job is, right? They're that good, you accept it, right? You accept some of their quirks. It just is. And when other people ask you about it, you say, when you're as good as him, you can do that too. You know, he's earned some of this flexibility. But if he's a drag on the culture, then you're better off without him. Mm-hmm. So it really entirely depends, but on the circumstance. So, maybe it was silly and he says, I'm not going to put up with this because I don't have to because I have options. All right. Mm-hmm. You say he's your top performing employee. He's got options.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need this. I'm out of here. especially if it was silly, you know, something like you wrote him up because he's chronically late, you know, 5-10 minutes late. I don't need this. I don't need this silliness, you know, that kind of thing. You adjust the schedule. And how do you deal with that culturally? When you guys are as good as him, you can have adjusted schedules too.
There you go.
Benefits of being good. You're good at your job, you get better benefits than everybody else. Yeah, people treat you better. You treat your top performers better than you treat your lower performers, not because it's because they've earned it, because you can lose them. You don't care if you lose your lowest performer, you can replace them. Your top performers are harder to replace unless they're a drag on your culture. If they're a drag on your culture, you want to replace them. So that's the answer to that question.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we got sex questions.
All righty.
My 18 female boyfriend accidentally walked in on me doing it, self-pleasure, while saying his name, and I want to throw up from embarrassment.
I get you wanting to throw up from embarrassment, but he's flattered, so I wouldn't need to be embarrassed. He'll be flattered, so. You're thinking of him while you're pleasuring yourself. That's very flattering.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, I get being embarrassed because as human beings, we're all embarrassed when we get, you know, even if it's not getting caught, we all feel like we're getting caught, right? Even if you got a partner who's perfectly willing to, yeah, knock yourself out, you know, whatever, you still feel like you got caught. It still inherently feels like we're getting, you know, likely, if I were to guess, it goes back to the dick because it's a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, it is.
And so it's that vulnerability that makes us feel embarrassed. But yeah, so trust me, he's going to feel, I get the feeling, but don't worry about it. It's flattering, very flattering. So yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Unless, of course, he's never seen you participating in yourself before, then, you know, still, it's not a thing for him. Trust me.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay.
Boyfriend took sex pic without consent.
Ooh.
Now, should she break up is her question.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on how, on your interpretation of his meaning behind this kind of thing. Was he just being kind of dumb and goofy, not thinking ahead, and had an opportunity and took a pic for himself? You know, or is he the kind of person who's, whatever reason, going to go store it and share it and post it somewhere? And those are different things, right? Now, still, in the modern age with, you know, cell phones and things, you can't be taking pictures of people in intimate relations without their consent.
You just can't do it.
You just can't do it. So, but there is a different motivation, and you're going to have to figure out what the motivation was before you decide what to do. Sometimes we all, as human beings, we just do things in a moment without really thinking it through. And that's kind of the case. Delete the picture and move on. But if you think it might be more, then yeah, you'll want to move on from the relationship. Okay.
Okay. My boyfriend masturbates after arguments. She's wondering if this is normal.
It's a stress relief. That's all it is. It's the fastest way to release stress in a man. So you just do that. That's all it is.
We all just complicated animals, aren't you?
Sorry. You want something bigger, deep? No. Stress relief. That's all it is. If you want to talk about a meaningless masturbation, that's what that one is. It's pure, well, I mean, it's not meaningless. It's not meaningless. It's stress relief, but that's all it is.
There's no emotion involved.
No, there's, you're not even, at that point, you're not even aroused. You're just relieving stress. Yeah. Bodies are weird, you know? Okay.
Do most girls on the pill let their boyfriend orgasm inside of them?
I, It's a personal choice.
It really is. It's a personal choice that they want to, because there is still a risk of pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, you know, if you're going to make them wear a condom, be firm.
Well, and also, you know, it's the reason you wear condoms isn't just to not get pregnant. It's to reduce the risk of STDs. And so all these things are, you know, have to be factored in before you decide, make your decision on what you do with these things. Okay.
Okay. My female 18 boyfriend, male 26, watches porn during sex, and it starts to annoy me. How can I convince him to stop? You're not going to get him to stop, but you can get him to give you some sessions alone without it. Yeah. Tell him, can we go without it this time? You know?
Well,
just had that conversation.
Do it in the dark. Turn the TV off. Learn yourselves in the dark. Well, because the problem here is he has become, and this is a bigger problem today than it's ever been, but he has become accustomed to being aroused by a certain way. He has to unlearn the pattern. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sense of overstimulation through visual medium. And so now it's a sense, it's like he has a certain set of buttons now, and he only knows how to use those certain set of buttons. And so luckily they're all young enough where they can
change. Know. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're going to have to do it the hard way. There's no easy way to do this one, but you're going to have to start by just turning off the TV. That's it. It's going to be hard and awkward at first, but it is what it is. And then you get to reintroduce it as, you know, part of the repertoire instead of the repertoire later on. But you're going to have to go cold turkey. I don't think there's any other way than going cold turkey for a little while. How do you convince him to do that? You tell him that, I don't know. That one's going to we have to come back to this next week while I think about this one.
All right.
That's the first time I've ever had to do that. But we're going to have to remember to come back to that one next week, because there's an answer there, and I just can't think of it tonight. All right, what's next? All right.
Accidentally the wrong hole, or guys trying to do surprise anal? It took me till I was like 25 until I figured out, in my early days, in that there was no error.
Yes, there is.
Oh, come on, be serious.
I'm sorry, you've got bodies all kinds of moving, going all kinds of different ways. Those things aren't exactly all that far apart. Yeah, it happens. Now, the thing is it's difficult to know. Is it surprised? Does it happen all the time, or does it happen on occasion? It does. It will happen. It just will. It's not like you're not there looking, right? It's not like you can go down and see. So you're all kind of guessing where things are to begin with. You know, especially if you're going back a couple questions, you're doing it in the dark. So you're not like seeing, they're not all that far apart. And, you know, everything's kind of slippery and people are moving unexpectedly. And yeah, things happen. Does it happen all the time? No. So, right? So there's...
Yeah.
So it depends. If it's happening all the time, yeah, just tell them just to ask.
Tell them to knock it off.
No, tell them to ask if you want that.
Oh, make them ask.
Yeah. Hello, McFly. It's then you can decide if where you want to go from there. But make them ask if that's what they actually want. Good Lord, have a real relationship. Okay.
Okay, the burning question that all women have.
Uh-huh.
What are men looking at when a woman is on top?
We're just glad we're not having to do that.
You're tired. Is what it is.
Yeah. We're relaxing is what's happening. Y'all are putting way more thought into this thing than we are.
Obviously.
Yeah. If what you looked like when you were doing that was a turnoff for us, we wouldn't ask you to do that. So guess what? Be flattered. Just saying. We don't care about those kind of, you guys are far more interested in what you look like when you're doing those things than we are. Just pointing this out. Hey, the sex is goofy. And if you watch sex, it's even goofier unless you get some cinematic camera angles and special lighting and post-production processes and nice editing.
Which is totally real.
Yeah, totally real. Yeah. Sex is goofy and, you know, things happen. And the reality is when you're doing it with somebody you love, things like, what are you looking at? You're looking at the person you love. But in the reality is, as a man, you're just happy you're not having to move for a little while. You just get to kind of relax this time. It's really all it is.
Huh. Again, y'all are just complicated.
Now, reverse cowboy girl, you're looking at their butt. I guess if you're a boob man, you're probably looking at her boobs. And she's in the, but kind of depends on your preference, but mostly you're just happy you're not having to kill yourself. That's kind of where that is. All right, we're out of here for tonight. Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next week when we get back to that question. Oh, there's got to be one. I've got to figure an answer to that one. There's an answer there somewhere, and I'm just not thinking of it tonight. Anyway, remember, you can find us on latenightlove.us. You can send us letters at love@latenightlove.us. And for me and Lovey, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Have a good week. And please remember to love everybody.